Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Always good to be with you. And you honor us with your presence and your loyalty to your country. That's what we stand for here, faith, family, and freedom. And we're desperately trying to get back our country that's been overrun by Bolshevik communists. I'm not the only one using that term now, but I think I might have been one of the first. We have a terrific guest for you. And it's Paul Preston. It's been a while since we've had Paul on. He is, you know, the founder and president of the New California Movement. And we're going to review what that is very quickly and then talk about the progress. But we're also going to talk about voter fraud. I don't think it's capable. We're capable in the United States any longer in key elections, in swing states in particular, of ever having another free election the way things are. And we're going to get into that with Paul and more. But first, we have to let you know something. Have you heard about what's happening in Houston, right? The 2 million people that have to boil water and blah, 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 blah. And I've warned you. We've warned you. We've warned you. We've warned you. Expats living in China have now been told by the State Department you must have 2 weeks of supplies. Let's get down to what that is. That's food and that's water. Let me start with water filtration. Do you think that Houston's going to be isolated, especially when they have roving blackouts? I don't think so. So what you need to be focusing on doing right now is getting the best water filter you can, and that's the Alexa Pure Pro water filter. The research is at waterwithdave.com. They haven't raised prices, and they have a great sale, and you will save your own life. On the fifth day of a crisis, waterborne illnesses become the number one cause of death. So don't let that happen to you. Waterwithdave.com. And along those same lines, well, let's see. We've got the train strike that's coming. We've got the trucker strike that's coming. Newsom's trying to put the trucks out of business in California. I reported on that a couple of days ago. Ladies and gentlemen, your food supply is in peril. It's food and it's water, and that's how you control a population. That's what the Bolshevik communists are doing out of D.C. So what do you got to do? You better get your emergency kit of food. My Patriot Supply has a three-month special. Now, you know what comes there, folks? $250 off. They have not raised prices since 2018, and they will deliver on time. They deliver accurately. They deliver quality product, 2,000 calories per day, 25-year shelf life. Everyone in your family needs this three-month emergency kit. And I'll tell you, have you noticed everyone starting to talk about storable food again? Get ahead of the curve before the prices go up. Go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com to go with the waterwithdave.com. And there you go. You'll have the two basic needs taken care of. And I got one more quick one for you. You have a nest egg, right? $500, $5 million. You have a nest egg. Want to protect it? I would suggest right now that you call Noble Gold. I'm a customer of Noble Gold. You can be a customer of Noble Gold. But I have to say this. The FTC requires me to say, even though they didn't require FTX to say it, that past earnings are no guarantee of future earnings, and every investment has an inherent risk. But Noble Gold can protect your nest egg in many, many different ways. They're working for me, and when the collapse comes, we can get through this pretty much intact. So, how do you get a hold of Noble Gold? 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges sent you. Well, Paul Preston really needs no introduction. He has one of the most popular, and if not the most listened to, digital radio shows in America, Agenda 21 Radio. In addition, as I indicated, he is the president and founder of the New California Movement. Oh my gosh, we need a new Arizona movement, but please don't give that job to me. I've already got bad people out looking for me right now as we speak. And so we need a new everything movement. Maybe we should have 100 states. We just break away from the old ones and let them wallow in their own excrement. Well, here to talk to us about all of this, along with the voter fraud that's rampant, is Paul Preston. Paul, welcome to the show.
Well, Dave, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's really good to have you back on, but have you been following what's happening in Maricopa County?
Oh, yeah, intensely. It's been quite a little circus you have going on over there. I call Maricopa County the 59th county of California.
Explain that comment for those who don't know what you mean.
Well, everything that's going on in Maricopa County goes on in all 58 counties of California right now.
Yeah.
And except our window is 29 days after the election for counting the ballots. I guess you guys have got a few more days in there, a few less days. But this the whole two-month election cycle is a little too much, don't you think?
Well, it is. In Arizona, they take as long to count the votes as needed to stuff the ballot boxes sufficiently to get the proper margin of victory. Let me tell you, I watched the Maricopa County feed the day that they certified the election, and they had public comment before, and no one supported them. They got up and just ripped the supervisors. But they had person after person say, I was disenfranchised. I was sent to a second facility. They wouldn't let me vote. Your people violated the law. You had long lines. Machines broke down. And yet you say you ran the machines 5 o'clock the night before. What happened at 7 a.m. the next day? And it happened in heavy Republican areas. And this is what they were hearing. And then, of course, they mixed good votes with bad votes. And we'll untangle all this. But I'm sure you've heard a lot of these things. And Maricopa County, despite all the evidence, despite all the problems with their election, the tens of thousands of people in Maricopa County that were disenfranchised and didn't get to vote because they had to leave and go to work or pick up their kids, they still certified the election, Paul.
Yeah. This is a dictatorship run amok, and I hope that. Really, as I was watching this whole charade, because we've seen this year in and year out in California, but many of the public in Arizona are not really quite used to the fact or comfortable with the fact that the dictators are here and telling them what they're going to do and being so smug about it. And I think this is the first glimpse that a lot of them really had to see the arrogance coming from these supervisors. And I think there's a great deal of anger that's about to befall them. And, because they were very inappropriate with the public, even though they got a chance to speak, but it was only 2 minutes. But there, you had some pretty good speakers. You had really good citizens that kept stuff up. Ben Bergqualm really did a fantastic job. He brought up many of the things we know about your supervisors, how really dirty they are. And, of course, the FTX situation is really bubbling over onto them. It bubbled over into Katie Hobbs and also to Kelly.
Well, what do you got on FTX and Katie Hobbs and Kelly? Tell us about that.
Well, we know that basically they're nonprofit. They're nonprofits that were dealing with FTX and getting money, was funneling money into their races. That came out on the Gateway Pundit even, but we've been following Mr. Brinkman, Beard, or whatever his last name is, FTX. He's a Stanford, his dad's a Stanford guy.
So is his mom.
They're both behind this whole thing. You also have another guy by the name of Wilson, who's also behind it. And, of course, he's a very interesting person. And then you have the guy who used to be the prosecutor for the district attorney for San Francisco. Remember him? Who just got recalled?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bodine. Remember?
Yeah.
Bodine. And he happens to be Bill Ayers' adopted son. Now, it's kind of interesting. He's all into the FTX thing, too.
Oh, my.
He's a partner. He's a partner.
I don't know if you share this view or not, speaking of FTX. But we know FTX gave almost $39 million to Democratic candidates, but they also gave it to a Republican establishment. And
right.
Mitch McConnell, who failed to fund properly 8 senatorial races involving America First Republicans, Kevin McCarthy, same kind of deal, Rona McDaniel, the head of the RNC, same kind of deal. So it goes on and on and on. And these elite are being paid off by groups like FTX and the Chinese to sabotage Republican relations. Let me go back to Maricopa County, Paul, and I get your comment on this. Bill Gates of Maricopa County Supervisors. By the way, let me digress for a second. Did I ever tell you that I personally know Bill Gates?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, he used to be my student. And he was a young man, and I knew him into adulthood. We ran into each other several times, talked, and met his family, and he was a young man of great integrity. I know people say, what? Dave, are you crazy? No, he was. The most intelligent student I ever had at any level. And I had him a long time ago as his high school teacher. But I'm talking high school, college, graduate, all the things I've taught. He was the most intelligent. And he was also had the most integrity. Unfortunately, he's now surrounded by scum and he has chosen to join the dark side. He contributes, and this goes to the point I was making about the Republican leadership. He and Stephen Reicher, who's the Maricopa County County Clerk and Recorder, they contribute to a fund, a super PAC designed to unelect Republicans that identify with Trump or America First. Did you know that?
I knew some of that, but I didn't know the. You gave me more details, but yeah, I knew about McCarthy and what he's been up to. But of course, the California Republican Party has benefited also by this, you know, in the California GOP, Cal GOP, as they call, or CA GOP. I call them the Vichy, Cal
Vichy French from
GOP.
World War II. Yep. Traitors. Traitors.
They're collaborative traitors is what they are.
That's a great
And
analogy.
in fact, we've dubbed the California GOP as the California Communist Republican Party. And they are. I mean, and you know, we have a disaster out here in our legislature and in the government. Not only do we have a craven dictator in the form of Gavin Newsom, who still has the emergency powers from the COVID. But we also have a legislature that hasn't stood up at all. There's 120 legislators, and not one of them has complained about Gavin Newsom, except one, and that's Kevin Kiley, and he won the 3rd District Republican seat to Congress, getting out of the Assembly of California. He's the only one who successfully sued Gavin Newsom, trying to get and had the ballots in 2020 had them declared unconstitutional, the mail-in ballots that he issued an executive order for. It was taken up by a higher court, and they wouldn't let it stand, but it was still nonetheless, the decision was rendered on November 2nd. If it had been rendered a week before, it may have stopped the entire election in California. But you know, just a little side note, but one person, there's only been one person, that's Kevin Kiley, who stood up after 2 years of legislative hearing, having a legislature in session. We finally got one person, only one, Dave. And everybody else was quieted because they have the election coming up. They want to make sure they get guaranteed, not to ruffle anybody's feathers. All Democrats, you got to remember that the balance of Democrats in the U.S. Congress from California, you have 52 seats and only 8 are Republican. In the assembly, there's 40. In the assembly, there's 80 seats, and 19 are Republican. And in the Senate, you've got 40, and only 9 are Republican. There's something wrong with the picture.
No, I agree with you. There is something wrong with that picture. But you know, the other unspoken statistic, Paul, is I can rent a U-Haul to go to California for dirt cheap, but if I try to rent a U-Haul to leave California, it costs me an arm and a leg. And that means people are voting with their feet. So when we look at voter fraud, we have to look at sheer numbers. And I'll go back to 2020. Anyone that was in Arizona knows that Trump got 70, 75% of the vote. There's just no, I mean, they used to have Democratic gatherings for Biden. Sometimes no one would show up. With Trump, he'd have 20, 25,000 people. They once had a caravan for Trump that went over 100 miles long. I'm not kidding. And everyone knows Trump won Arizona. The other thing that we look at now, everyone knows Carrie Lake won Arizona. No one would have voted for Katie Hobbs. She wouldn't debate. She didn't come out of her basement. She's for open border, sanctuary state of Arizona. She doesn't care if fentanyl kills our kids. She talks like a 90s Valley girl, and that's an accurate depiction. She can't say 10 intelligible words or vocabularies on a 5th grade level, and yet she beat Carrie Lake. Are you kidding me? No way. Paul, did I lose you?
No,
You're just kind of taking it all in. I know. You
yeah.
know, Paul, let me add, I was talking to Doug Thornton, my friend from DHS, and we do the Doug and Dave Intel report. And I'm going through all the Maricopa County stuff, right? And Doug's ex-DHS, former combat veteran in Fallujah. And he knows a lot. And he asked me, he says, "Dave, everything you're saying about Maricopa County, I know is true. I hear it from my own sources." And he said to me, "Dave, what's the answer to this rampant voter fraud? There is not ever going to be a free election where it matters." How would
No.
you answer that, Paul? I was stumped. I don't have an answer other than reach for the pitchfork.
Well, we've done quite a fabulous job out here in California by getting declarations and affidavits out on our county leaders
Yes.
and elected officials and tapping that market. And we've got over 30,000 declarations that have been pumped out so far. And we've had great success in getting a lot of them removed. So we've gotten 13, up to 13 county clerk recorders that have either outright resigned, did not go back for reelection, or just walked off the job. I was one person in one county, in Humboldt County. We rather than our county chair up there was just marvelously smart. He kind of knows a lot, he has a lot of political savvy. So rather than to serve the declarations in a bundle like we normally do, he said, "I'm going to get to this guy." So he changed the declaration around a little bit and just presented the letter to him with the data on it that we always use, because we use the data from our data people about the numbers, and we have the accurate numbers of the races. And so he presented him with the letter, and the guy resigned that
Oh my
afternoon.
gosh.
I mean, so that's called a clue. We know that they're dirty when that sort of thing's
Sure,
going on.
absolutely.
And it's been very, very successful. But you guys don't have anything like that over there, and I can see the frustration on the people's faces. And of course, the problem that you have also is you've got people there in the sheriff's department that are all completely bought off by George Soros. So the people are fit to be tied to have something done. But if you at least get something done in terms of the affidavits and get affidavits laid down on these people, that has a very chilling effect on them. It really does.
I'm taking notes here as we speak because I know you're right. We've talked about this aspect before, and I got to see what I can do. I have contact with some people in the legislature. Most would prefer they're not known to be talking to me privately to give me info. Some are okay with it, but I'll tell you who's really in tight with the Kari Lake camp, Abe Amodei, the attorney general that had his election stolen, Mark Finchem, Secretary of State election to a criminal, I mean a real criminal, lost to him. You know who's in tight with these people? It's because of the good live streaming he did during the election, Charlie Kirk.
Oh,
And
really?
Charlie Kirk is from the Valley. He's from the Phoenix area. Do you know Charlie Kirk or have contacts with him?
No, I don't. We wanted him to come to a convention. It didn't quite
Didn't quite
work
work
out.
out. Okay.
No, we had Candace Owens at the convention
Well, that
instead.
worked
So
out
they
pretty
both
well.
had nothing to do with it.
That worked out pretty well with Candace. Oh, I agree. She's one of my favorites. But let me tell you why I bring him up, though. I've seen him interacting with the powers that be in the Republican Party. And if there's going to be affidavits, it's probably going to come from his camp because of his connections right now. And I'm just thinking about to follow your lead, which has been unbelievably successful. I think it's got to be Charlie Kirk, and we got to put our heads together and get some contact with him. He's hard to reach. I reached out to him on something he needed info on. But I will tell you one thing in Charlie Kirk's favor, okay? I know he's controversial, but I got to tell you, the Washington Post came out at the behest of the Maricopa County supervisors and blamed all doubting of the Maricopa County election on Charlie Kirk's live streams. And the only thing he did was he had people come in and tell their story. They rejected my ballot 4 times. They sent me to a second facility where I was not allowed to vote. I had my wife count. I was number 651 in line. I waited 3 hours to vote, and they said, "You were at a previous center and you may not vote." I wasted the whole day and never got to vote. That's the kind of stories he brought on his show. And this attracted the attention of many of the Republican candidates, including Kari Lake. So I'm kind of thinking that's the conduit if we're going to get this going in Arizona. I think you're right on the money. Affidavits are the way to go. Talk about the mechanism. When a community says we've had enough of our political figures' corruption, how does this affidavit process work?
Well, the process is that we've been very fortunate because we've had a trial attorney, a district attorney, a prosecutor, 25 years, specialty was fraud. So he knows how to write up we call them declarations. Now we're not using the affidavits per se, except in special conditions. And of course, an affidavit would require a notary. But we've got declarations, which are just as valuable as in a court of law. And what a declaration does, it's a statement that the basic idea is that the person that you look at that's an elected official, say a county supervisor, is not following the Constitution, which is a violation of his oath of office to the Constitution, which is a felony, it's proven. And it can be a fine. In fact, it was proven in the court case in Pasadena, California, with a big megachurch down there, that Gavin Newsom had violated his oath of office. And the court fined him $1.3 million right on the spot. And they said, before the end of the day, you better have that money over to us. And so that's because he was found guilty of other violations, but also found guilty of violating his oath of office. So these things can happen, and they do happen. But we use the oath of office as a segue into other violations that the people may have committed, and violations including, especially with election law, which election law is not very well understood by sheriffs and the like. They don't, you know, understand why they should be even enforcing election law, because after all, they're sheriffs and they're supposed to do traffic stops. So that's bogus.
Yeah, yeah.
Sheriff's responsibility is actually to help out with this sort of thing. A crime is a crime, and they need to focus on that. But you'll get pushback from them because they don't want to get involved with it, but they need to. But the process itself is relatively simple. The declaration's about a 3.2 maybe page letter, maybe just three, depending upon what kind of language you use. And then there's statements, and the people have to agree to the statements about what is on the statements, what is in the declaration, what violations of law they've broken. They can sign on to it, and they sign it with penalty of perjury. And that becomes part of a package that we developed. We asked that the people get 100 complaints from citizens about a particular sheriff, and then we'll take that down to the take the declarations as we get as many as 100. And in fact, we tell everybody, if you want to do this, you have to give us 100 declarations. We'll take those 100 declarations with the cover letter that we write for them, specifically advising the sheriff of what we're doing, how we're doing it, and letting them know we know what their rights and responsibilities are to actually follow through with the whole process. And then they take the documents, they give it to the person that they're claiming to have a problem with. They give them as much as 10 days to respond to the accusations. And that's an example with Tommy Gong. You know, his thing was, you broke the law because you violated, you know, election code section, blah, blah, blah. And of course, those are felonies. And of course, if he doesn't answer to that, it's as good as an admission that he did. That's what a lot of people don't understand. But you go to where you think you can get those signatures. You get the signatures, and then you're ready for bear. You'll get your case number. That's another thing that's very important. You get a case number, but you'll also get a lot of fat, a lot of fat for life. But this is the way it's done. And we then, like I said, we package them up. We take them into the sheriff. We make an appointment to talk to the sheriff, and we get a case number. We want them to start an investigation. And we've been very, very fortunate that we've gotten several investigations started that way. We still have, and we have numerous case numbers, so we're in the process right now of setting up appointments with the sheriff so our people can go in and do a formal presentment and talk about the charges and the crimes. But we have several active cases, as many as 8 right now, in involving sheriffs and other assorted individuals.
And how many signatures do you recommend that these declarations or affidavits contain?
Well, it's a matter of just getting one signature per affidavit. So you're going to need 100 affidavits at minimum to trigger probable cause by the sheriff.
Is that pretty universal across the country?
No, it's only universal in New California. And the reason is that We universalized it because the reason is that we were asking of various sheriffs, what should we go on these? And they all say, well, 10 days is enough and all that good stuff. And we say, well, what about 20? But we have found since then that most of the cases that are brought forward, there is some at least 10-day period that they had been looked at. And, of course, now with water, things like that, it's a little bit different. We're more than happy to share our responsibility with the rest of the world. But I think this is the way to go for Arizona. I've been saying that for years, and I can sense the angst with everybody, and I really empathize with it, because these are totalitarians that you're dealing with. They're not a Democrat or a Republican. And the Republicans are the worst, by the way, because you would think they wouldn't be doing things that they're doing.
Well,
like
you
that,
mean going against America First candidates with these super PACs?
Yeah, I don't. And the America First candidates are true, but we have a lot of candidates out here that are really strong candidates that aren't America First candidates. But the Republican Party turning their backs on them. Same thing.
Yeah. Okay, I want to get your opinion on how this should be handled. Okay, I'm speaking about Cochise County, and for those across the country that aren't familiar with the county geographic locations in Arizona, this is on the border with Arizona, high trafficking area, high fentanyl cartels everywhere. Okay, now I'm going to lay out a couple facts here, and then I'm going to tell Paul about this situation and ask how it should be dealt with. And then I'm going to forward it to the proper Arizona people who I think can do something about this. Now, Katie Hobbs, who's technically the governor-elect, although fraud is certainly in question, and her opponent, Carrie Lake, is sued, but Katie Hobbs is the current Secretary of State in Arizona. I mean, she's in charge of state elections. Carrie Lake repeatedly told her she needed to recuse herself because it was a conflict of interest. Of course, you're running for a higher office than the one you're in, but you control the elections? Of course it's a conflict of interest. And listen to this, Paul. Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs sued a Republican-controlled county on Monday after it refused to certify the election results by the state statutory rules. The lawsuit filed at Arizona Superior Court aims to compel the Cochise Board of Supervisors to certify the election. Their position is Maricopa County, which is 62% of the vote in Arizona, was so compromised that it disenfranchised Republican voters in their own county. Mojave County is doing something similar, but they've not yet been sued. Mojave County borders Nevada in northern Arizona, opposite end of the state. Now, obviously, Paul, this is a huge conflict of interest. Katie Hobbs is acting in her own behalf and misusing her office for her own personal gain to force this election through. What do you recommend the course of action to be for the Cochise Board of Supervisors and their citizens?
Well, I think what they ought to do is, if there is going to be any kind of lawsuit filed by Katie Hobbs, they need to do a countersuit immediately and go after her. But those county supervisors in those counties have a responsibility to the people, and they know that. They have a responsibility to protect their people, not only from the federal government, but also from state government and the overreach of state government. We have this thing called the lesser magistrate. And, even though the county supervisors are in a position of only their own county, that doesn't mean that they can't be performing the protective abilities and capabilities of elected officials to protect their public in the best interest of the public. The sheriff does that. The sheriff is a sovereign. The sheriff is a sovereign of the county, and he will protect against the overreach of the state and or the federal government or anybody else who wants to come in and interfere. And I think certainly the sheriff should be engaged with this. And I think that these people need to continue to stand strong. And if they come down from the state and want to take their machines, forget it. They're not going to take them. Don't let them have access. Because I think what they'll do is change everything around. Of course they will. They'll come in with their Dominion agents and try and get everything off the tabulators and come up with their own calculations.
Yeah, Dominion.
I think we're better off than just...
I'm sorry, Paul, but Dominion, just so the listeners know, in case you're not familiar, Dominion's the name of the voting machine company that's been so much in question. There's another piece of history here that I think might color your answer to some degree, Paul. Before the election, Cochise County came out and said, after the machines are done tabulating, we are going to conduct a hand count to verify accuracy. In another major conflict of interest, Katie Hobbs, Secretary of State, again, ruling on her own governor election, she said, if you try to hand count following the machine count, we will sue you.
Hmm.
Isn't that amazing? Well, they didn't say they were substituting hand counts for the machine count. They just said, we're going to verify it. Doesn't a county have the right to verify their own elections?
They do. Well, that's the reason why they certify them before they send it to the state.
There you go.
So, you know, and this is sheer coercion is what it is. And what they really are doing, and they're working in concert with other counties throughout the United States, California in particular, but also within their own state, and perhaps even more in the Midwest, like Oklahoma. They might be working with people over in Oklahoma. They might be working with people in Texas or even New Mexico to make sure that they've got all the coordination of all the races that balance out by the way of the algorithm, because they might be stealing out votes, if you will, electronic votes from another state and using them, putting them in place in the location where they want to use them in their state. So this is something I think is very grave and very egregious, and I think the people in the county need to stand strong behind
them. Yeah, I agree with you.
They need to stand up against the state, because this is a criminal activity. What I'm trying to get to is, out here, we're going to do a RICO lawsuit and invoke RICO statutes. It's obvious what this is when you break it down.
Before we leave Cochise County, I want to go to the RICO next. Okay, hold that thought just for a second.
Yeah.
But I want to read to you a quote from Katie Hobbs in her intended action to sue. Absent a court's intervention, the secretary will have no choice but to complete the statewide canvass by December 8th without Cochise County votes included, the lawsuit states. Thus, the board's inaction not only violates the plain language of the statute, and I think that's open to interpretation, but also undermines a basic tenet of free and fair elections. Wait a minute. If you have one-third of the machines go down in Maricopa County, and you have tens of thousands of people disenfranchised and couldn't vote, how is that a free and fair election? See, they could be challenged on that basis. I'm going to get your opinion on this. But then she goes on to say, she said, I'll deny basically Cochise County's votes if they don't go ahead and certify. How could she get away with this?
Hmm. Well, she can't. I don't think she can. I think that the county needs to... she's trying to bully the county into caving, obviously. I think good attorneys will turn her. She's got all the right, or the county has the rights to put her in check, if you will, and they should. They should write a letter saying, thank you, but we're going to take care of our own business and don't interfere any longer in our county business.
Yeah, like I said, their position is that Maricopa County disenfranchised so many Republican voters. They feel like their election results have been disenfranchised because of the sheer numbers involved. And I agree. Let me tell you one thing I learned about Yavapai County, which is Prescott, Arizona, about an hour and a half north of Phoenix. In that election in 2020, what they found was many votes were siphoned off, even though Trump easily won in that heavy Republican area. But those votes were siphoned off. They estimate about 10,000 votes were stolen out of Yavapai County. And so this is what Cochise County is alleging. And I think they're right on the money with this. I hope they stand their ground. In fact, actually, I'm going to be contacting them tomorrow, which is why I'm asking you these questions tonight. And I think I know what course of action we're going to take with this. So let's go to the next thing you want to talk about here. Let's go back to that.
Okay, which one? Which?
Oh, which there's, so many. There's so many. Well,
every one's a big thing.
Here's
New California.
Yeah,
is that what you want?
Well, I'm going to ask you a general question though too. During the election, when people were coming out, I'll give you the Arizona example again because this is where I saw the most. Mark Fincham went to Trump's rally on January 6th. He did not go to the Capitol. He did not enter. He did not encourage anybody. But they were running ads that said he was the mastermind of the attempted sedition in January 6th. The mastermind. And he wasn't even there. And I said, why isn't the Republican Party suing the people who sponsored this ad for defamation? Because clearly it's a lie. Now, when you sue a public figure, you know, it's a harder thing to do because you got to prove they knew they were lying when they said it. But that's an easy lie to prove. And then that's when FTX broke. And I just want people to hear this. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Paul's telling you and I'm telling you that the Republican leadership has been bought off by the FTX people, by the communist Chinese and George Soros, all working for the same interests. And they are working in concert with the Democrats to destroy any hope of Trump getting reelected and any hope of America First candidates being elected to restore the Constitution. Paul, do you agree with that statement?
The only thing that you didn't plug in there is that the GOP and the Rhino Republicans are also heavily involved with this. They're side by side with the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Okay.
They're absolutely side by side. Now, here in California, it's a puke fest all over the California GOP. They are just despicable in terms of their activities towards really, really good. They weren't we have a lot of disenfranchised candidates, really, really strong conservative Republicans that were not America First. They're just your standard, really strong conservatives, but they all got taken out at the primary. They were all primaried out. And the selected ones that the cartels out of San Diego groom year over year over year to be selected into the offices, they all, of course, won. And we've been seeing this now repeatedly year in and year out. But, you know, the other part of it, take Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy's from Bakersfield out here. He is not popular in California. Absolutely not. People detest him out here. But, you know, he was taking that money, FTX, and he was using it all over the place. Now, of course, you have Katie Hobbs and you have Mark Kelly that have been implicated in all this. But, you know, what about Wendy Rogers?
Tell me about Wendy. Did she take FTX?
And Wendy Rogers, of course, what did she do? Remember, Dave, she was out there prancing around the countryside saying, oh, we should have an audit, but she never stayed home in Arizona to make the audit happen.
You know what? She was put in control of Bitcoin crypto in Arizona by Karen Fan, who totally botched the audit.
Yeah, and what happened was is that she was put in, what I heard she was put in charge of a committee for crypto coins and stuff, the crypto committee, I guess you could call it. So she got favorable treatment. By the way, when we did our audit of the numbers and the votes for Arizona, we used her election because it was obvious they did not taint her with an algorithm. So she got a pure a pass on everything. She won by a sizable number because she was a Republican. So she was one of the case studies, along with the guy who had the perfect score, your mining inspector and instructor, whatever it was.
Oh my gosh.
Remember, there was nobody for him to compete against, so the algorithm couldn't be used. And so we got a straight vote in terms of understanding the basis numbers so that we could plug that into our algorithm. And that's why we say that, we went to the Arizona thing. I wrote an article called Arizona by the Numbers. And we explained all these numbers. We laid it. That's how come Gateway Pundit and everybody else picked this whole thing up about your miner is because we wrote about it. We nailed it. He had 1.6 million votes. Katie Hobbs had 1.2. Now he's all the way down on the bottom of the ballot. Why do you think the Republicans on the way down to vote for him with 1.6 million wouldn't bother voting for Carrie Lake?
Yeah, well,
are you kidding
the
me?
Mining, yeah, okay, now I get where you're going with this. Kimberly Yee, who was the only Republican.
Oh, she's another one.
She's the only one that won major state office as the treasurer. And I believe she got a total of 100,000 more votes in her election than voted in the governor's election involving Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs. So in other words, what you're telling me, Arizona and Bill Gates and Mark and Stephen Reicher, is that more people were interested in the state treasurer's office than they were in the high-profile governor's office. That makes no sense. You've got 100,000 missing votes to account for, and they haven't done it. Is that where you're going with this? Because I agree with you.
Yeah, that was the crux of our story.
Okay.
We sent it to Gateway Pundit, and they printed it. And we had all the numbers. We ran all the algorithms, had all the numbers there. And we used their numbers, of course, because a ballot is different from a vote.
Yeah.
A ballot is a one-to-one calculation. They fractionate their votes out.
I'm going to put this out because you know I have the algorithm too, Paul.
I know that.
Okay, and we're not going to talk about how because it would endanger somebody, but we have the algorithm too. And we know how the votes are weighted Democrat, Republican, and it looks like it was worse in 2022 than 2020. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this to you, because Charlie Kirk has the ear of so many of these people, okay? And I sent him the algorithm. He didn't respond, and I think I'm just one of the many that got lost in the sea of avalanche of emails, and I don't know him. Ladies and gentlemen, contact him. Tell him to contact Dave Hodges at the Common Sense Show. .com, that's our email for the show, and tell him that Dave Hodges has the algorithms. Paul Preston, Agenda 21 Radio, has the algorithms, and we also know, at least Paul does, and I'm learning, how to exercise affidavits to put this to work in this problem. So please, I'm asking all of you right now to reach out, and he can either contact me or he can contact Paul.
Yeah, I really hope everybody in Arizona gets on board with this because it's a great way to start to solve your problem. But right now, you're not going to solve it until you have some violence. That's no good. That's not going to work. That's the road they want you to go down.
I think what's going to happen, Paul, I don't see the pitchforks coming out. I think it's going to be the great indifference. We'll go from record voter turnouts to the lowest ever because people are going to go, what the hell? We've had how many elections do we have to have stolen to know there's a problem? They're going to give up. I think people are going to give up. They feel disenfranchised from the system. The system's corrupt. They're just hoping to scrape by and make ends meet. And then there's the great unwashed. There's 50, 60% of us that, God bless them, and I do mean that sincerely, but they're just so uninvolved, they don't understand the implications of what we're dealing with. We're going through a communist takeover right now, and they're subjugating the right to vote to change process. So we can't stop this communist takeover. Do you agree with that assessment, Paul?
Yeah, I'm not going to give up at all.
Yeah.
We're going to do everything we can to fight the system, fight them, and we're it's winning for us. New California is going to stand up as a state real soon, and we've watched the process work at match rate, and here we are. You'll be surprised at what will happen in January as we send people off to Congress. That's going to happen.
Well, California held its Republican gains from 2020, which was fantastic. And I think a lot of what you're doing, in fact, I said that, I don't know if you heard this or not, I don't know if this got back to you or not, but I publicly declared more than once on my show that if you want to know why California held the line and we have minimal control of the House, it's because of Paul Preston's work with New California. It followed in line with what he's doing. So I want to give credit where credit's due here, Paul, because this turnaround here and the fact that people were able to hang on to those leads and didn't get killed by fake ballots at midnight, I think you have a lot to do with that.
Well, thank you. And, there's a lot of work to be done in Arizona in these declarations / affidavits because they're both truth documents. One can be done without a notary, and the other one can be done with a notary. But get this process started. It works. It works. And Arizona should be jumping all over this one. And before the next election, you'll have a lot of things going on within your own elected officials even before the next election because they're not going to be wanting to get any of those declarations served on them. Let me tell you, I get the call all the time. Hey, Paul, I really don't want you to serve the declarations. I said, look, did you vote for COVID money? Well, yeah. I said, you're getting your declaration, brother.
Well, let me ask you this. At what level would you recommend in Arizona that it's delivered? City council, county clerk and recorder, supervisors, governor, what would you recommend?
anybody who benefited by it, that can be from your city council to the governor.
Well, how about the conflicts of interest I just read over the air about 15 minutes ago with Katie Hobbs misusing her Secretary of State position to help her governor's run? Is that worthy of an affidavit?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many signatures would you recommend?
I always go with 100 declarations being signed or affidavits being signed. 100. I'll tell you why. Because when you what you want to do with these is you want to you're going to ask the person you're serving these declarations on to respond. We give them 5 days to respond, and after that, we're taking all that to the sheriff, and we're going to print up a nice sheet. It's a cover sheet, lists for him or her the violations involved, and then you present it to him. Now, the evidence is overwhelming if you have even one, but the problem is they're not going to look at it if you only have one declaration, but they will look at it if you've got 100.
Okay, so do the 100 declarations all say the same thing?
Yes, except we like to have a written statement on one of the lines so people can be specific about what violation they're talking about in their own personal experience. And the reason why we do that is because investigators like original content on those documents.
Okay, so what we need to tell people like Charlie Kirk is use your sphere of influence to get affidavits served on Bill Gates and the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, we used our sphere, the sphere of influence is being used by the, by our counties. We have 56 counties that we have available to us. I can get an intelligence report on the county, the state of California, within 10 minutes from at least 30-some counties.
That's amazing. You're so far ahead of the curve. You really are. You know, you're making progress in California, which is infinitely harder than what's going on in Arizona. In California, at least there's a level of sophistication of fraud. In Arizona, it's just blatant, arrogant, in your face. We don't care what you know. We're just going to deny it. And
I know.
It's amazing.
I know.
You know, really, I'll say this. The Board of Supervisors in Maricopa County aren't smart enough to pour piss out of a boot. And they just sit there and go, most free and fair election ever. Shut up. Go away. And yet their criminality, and they're criminally liable for what they've done. I've talked to a couple of election lawyers, and they tell me that the Board of Supervisors is criminally liable for what happened. Not that the fact there has to be an election redo, but they could go to jail if we had true justice. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, obviously. That's true. It's absolutely true.
Did you ever think 5 years ago, we'd be in the hellhole we are right now?
Yes and no. I could see it coming. Did I think it was going to happen? I did not think it was going to happen. But here we are in it. But we have options to get out of it.
That's true.
We just have to execute the options.
We need a clone called Paul Preston, too, to be in it, be in Arizona and to be in Wisconsin. And to be in Michigan. You know, tell me how Tudor lost to Gretchen Whitmer. Is that a head scratcher for you?
Yeah, you know, the ballots were the ballot processing and all the algorithm were on Whitmer's side.
Well,
that's a fact.
They released 270,000 unverified ballots to the Democrats. Did you know that?
Yeah,
pretty amazing. And Whitmer, she's the one, she declared everyone must be locked down because of COVID while her and her husband went sailing over Memorial Day weekend in 2020.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
I know. It's
because she can. The rest of us peons can't.
She marches through the streets with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and yet they elect her as governor. I can't even believe, you know what's amazing to me is in Flint, Michigan, the Muslim population rose up together as one and says, you're going to stop sexualizing our kids, Whitmer. We're not putting up with this. First graders learning about oral sex, blah, blah, blah. And the Muslims stood up and said, no more. And they said, we're voting Republican. And I thought, uh-oh, Tudor might win. But the fix was in all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Does Warnock
the fix is in all
does
the way.
Warnock steal the election in the runoff in Georgia?
He could very well. I hope not, but he could very well.
You try to run over your wife and nothing happens to you. That's amazing. Have you seen that wife's declaration on video?
No.
Okay. She's there. She's frantic. This has just happened. And she had a friend videotape and she just loses it emotionally. I mean, she's well spoken, but she's so emotional. He just tried to run over me and people just don't know who he really is. And he intimidates me. He's bullied me. He's abused me. Blah, 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 blah. He just tried to run over me. If you and I did that, Paul, with our spouse, do you think there's a fair chance that the police would come out and arrest us?
No, not at all.
Yeah, and Warnock's
Not
already
at all.
guilty of obstruction of justice for child abuse at one of his youth centers.
Yeah.
I know, it never ends. It just never ends. It's just like Satan has descended on our country and controls all these people. It's baffling. Oh my gosh. What's it going to take? Tell the people succinctly for New California to become the 51st state. Okay,
Well,
what's it going to take?
it's going to take our paperwork this week. We're putting out a declaration of truth about the state of California, and it's a definite pulling away and staying away from the public. We're also putting out a declaration of default on the 2nd, which is Friday, about the financial situation in California. We've already set up the reorganized New Cal or California state government, and New California has actually gone to the restored government and asked for the resolutions to be passed, which we granted. So we're moving our resolutions now, the two that we've got, one from the Assembly, one from the Senate, we're moving that to the Speaker of the House so that we can get busy and get working on a state starting in January.
When's your next convention?
Oh, the next convention is the 12th through the 15th.
Of.
Actually, it'll be the 14th, but of January.
Okay. Summertime. Me and the missus are going to come out when you do it. You've had such great guests. Tell people some of the guests you've had at your conventions. My favorite was Mike Huckabee.
That's been my all-timer, Mike Huckabee, and then we had Dinesh D'Souza, who was
Oh,
fantastic, and
awesome.
then we had,
Awesome.
we've had Candace Owens 3 times actually, because we had 2 fundraisers going into the convention when we had her there, and she was there with Dinesh D'Souza, and Dinesh D'Souza was just incredible because he came really as an outsider to New California, because somebody who sponsored one of his movies made him come to our convention because because he paid she they paid for his movie, he was going to come. And so he kind of got up there at the first part, and he just kind of hemmed and hawed and told his story and everything. And so he sat down, and we're going to have dinner. But as it turned out, some of the other speakers started speaking and asking questions. And I was looking at him in the back of the room, and I can just see him in thinking, just taking it all in. Like, what are these people talking about when they talk about the Constitution, the Declaration, article this and article that? And you could just see him, and suddenly he got up and asked a question, and I said, yeah. And he said, well, how is this all going to play out about New California? And I said, well, I kind of gave him a short spiel. And so he said, well, can I come up and talk again? And I said, well, sure. So he walks up, and he had consumed the information, and he came out and just said, you guys have got to do
Yeah.
this New California. It's going to save the name. I mean, he gave us another hour of speaking. It was wonderful,
Yeah,
absolutely
two
fantastic.
things that you're so right on the money here. Dinesh D'Souza's movie had the highest level of statistical proof I've ever seen for fraud. He put this at such a high level, no one could argue about what happened. And then his intelligence, his ability to grasp facts, that's a great ally. But I got to tell you, Mike Huckabee told me when we were having lunch all at the same table. He told me, he said, this is the most important movement going on in the country right now. And he's right. He's absolutely right. I was so glad to see his daughter get elected. Paul, we got about 45 seconds left. I want you to tell people about your radio show, Agenda 21 Radio, and how they can listen.
Well, you can go to agenda21radio.news or a21r.com, and that's where we have the website. and click on any number of the services that we have there. We're on Rumble Live, we're on BitChute Live, we're on Twitch Live, Facebook and Twitter, all live TV, so you can catch up on the action there. We're also on Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster emanates from Washington, D.C., from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific.
I'm on Red State,
so
too.
So we have great... Yeah, you are. I was listening to one of your shows the other night. But anyway, it's a great avenue. We get about 500,000 listeners every day. Really enjoy that. And, we're really starting to really get popular because as I've sat here, Dave, interviewed with you, I've got 20 people sign up for New California.
Yeah, it's incredible.
20 people.
It's incredible. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. I'm sorry I can't make the January, but I'll be at the next one. Paul, I really appreciate you being with us. This was so informative. We've given people avenues to take action, and I'm going to follow up. And ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Kirk, contact Dave Hodges or Paul Preston. You got the info. Thanks, Paul.
That's right.
Take care.
Thank you, Dave. Okay, bye.